Hello, my name is Todd Whitestone of FTN Fantasy, and I'm recording this pod on Monday afternoon, April 17th. I'm your host and guest for this podcast, and I can be found on Twitter at Telstar7. This pod is based on my free article, which can be found at ftnfantasy.com. It's an article about Fab Recap, which some of you may have seen. And it goes over the Fab for the main event in NFBC. And the idea is that even if you don't play in the main event itself, you can learn what some of the top managers for fantasy baseball are doing. And it might help inform you on your own bids and your own leagues, whether it's a home league or a different sort of NFBC league. So I'm going to divide this pod, and I'm going to try to keep it brief because I'm not going to go through everything that's in the article, but I'm going to try to hit the high spots, and there's six parts to the article. One is an analysis of the steals in Major League Baseball. Second, the overall Major League Baseball environment. Third, the widest Fab pickups from this past weekend, actually last night. Fourth, a Fab summary of how the main event teams are handling Fab so far this season. Fifth, a Coliseum section where I go through the widest pickups from 3 weeks ago and see how they turned out for the main event owners. And lastly, a brief look at the standings in this overall NFBC contest. So let me start with the environment in terms of the steals. And what I did in the article is I looked at the top 10 teams in terms of steals and how they were doing compared to the Major League Baseball as a whole. And probably no surprise, but these top 10 teams, which I'll list briefly, Cleveland, Baltimore, Arizona, Pittsburgh, the Cubs, the Mets, the Yankees, Oakland, the White Sox, and Seattle, they account for 53% of all steals, even though they're only one third of the total teams. And they do account for one third of the caught stealing. So it's not that they're getting caught a lot more, but they're getting most of the steals. And I also listed the top steals producers individually for these 10 teams. And if you look at it, you can see that these 14 players were the top teams. They're not all the most prolific base dealers because some of them do come from the lower teams. But these top 10 teams produced 14 players with 79 steals, which is 24.4% of the major league total. So 14 players, almost a quarter of the total steals. So I think this shows that some of the teams are adjusting rather quickly to the new environment, whether it's the pitch clock or the limited throwovers or the bigger bases. And those players and teams are really where the steals can be achieved. Guys like Cedric Mullins, Jorge Mateo, Nico Horner, Starling Marte, those guys all have six or more steals. Anthony Volpe also has six, by the way. And that seems to be where the action is, not with some of the teams that are still sort of stuck in the mud and not really attempting steals. So I also looked at the overall major league environment in terms of hitting and pitching. And I have a couple of charts in the article that you can take a look at. But the runs per game are now sitting at 4.66 through Sunday, which is sharply up from 4.28 last year. And home runs are 1.13 compared to 1.07 last year. So both are up. They did fall back a little over the past week. So maybe there's a little bit of adjustment going on. The batting average for Major League Baseball is 249 compared to 243 last year. So it's a little bit better. And the stolen bases, hearkening back to what I was saying before, there's 0.74 steals per game compared to 0.51 last year. So a big jump. And the success rate is 83% for those players attempting a steal, compared to 75% last year. So the steals are up, people are running. It's good for Major League Baseball. But interestingly, in the pitching side of things, yes, the Major League Baseball WHIP is up, as you'd expect, 1.35 compared to 1.27 last year. But strikeouts per game, although they're up, they are up sharply, 8.66. And they were up even more the last week because they were 8.61 last week. And walks per game are also sharply up, 3.53 per game versus 3.06 last year. So actually, early in the season, there's more walks and strikeouts in total than there were last year, about 10% higher, which kind of goes against the grain of the idea of Major League Baseball trying to get more action on the field. There's more walks and strikeouts, which is sort of by definition a non-action play. So we'll keep an eye on that, see if that's really sticky or whether it's just an early season adjustment period. So in terms of the third section, the widest Fab pickups, there were three headliners. Zach Neto of the Angels, the new shortstop, the young kid who's been batting leadoff in his first couple of games. Edouard Julien, who is a second baseman for the Twins and is getting a shot while Jorge Polanco is out. And Taj Bradley, who is the biggest pickup, the starting pitcher for the Rays, who looks like he's going to be slotted in Tuesday of this coming week. All three of those guys commanded big bids, many in excess of $200. And Taj Bradley got the biggest bid of all this past week of $557 for one main event owner. The lowest amount he was acquired for successfully was $99. The lowest winning bids, by the way, for Neto and Julien were $23 and $27, respectively. So I also have the other leading contributors to the additions of fantasy teams for the main event listed for you. Brent Rooker was a big ad, Griffin Canning, Mauricio Dubon, Jose Quijada, as people are looking still for saves. But you can see the list there. And those three, the three that I mentioned at the top, are the ones that really got the most of the dollars. I'll skip over the $100 and $200 chart that I have. But I also did want to mention that I do include a Fab summary section. And this Fab summary shows how much is being spent per team in the main event. Remember, the main event allows you $1,000 of fictional Fab to spend over the 27 weeks of the season. And many owners use that very quickly, as I've discovered by following this over the last couple of years. And this year is no exception. There were $86 per team spent, largely fueled by Bradley, Neto, and Julien. That $86 meant that the average main event team has spent $229 about, which is not as high as 2 years ago, but higher than last year. But still, the pace is very fast. And just by the fact of the dollars left, these owners are going to have to start slowing down their spending or they won't make it into the summer months, because there's a lot of the season still yet to go. So I'll keep tabs on that, but I would expect a couple more weeks of solid, heavy spending, and then it'll start to tail off as a whole. Some owners obviously are still holding back and have a lot of Fab, maybe 900 or more, but some owners are down in the $500-$400 range. And then the fifth area of focus for me in this article is to look at the four widest pickups from 3 weeks ago. I call it the Coliseum because they battle it out and we give them either a thumbs up, thumbs down, or sort of a push. And the four that we had as the widest pickups from the very first Fab period were Joe Jimenez of Atlanta, Dylan Dodd of Atlanta, starting pitcher, Dom Smith of Washington, and Christian Arroyo of Boston. And unfortunately for fantasy owners, all four of these guys got a thumbs down. They just didn't really add anything to fantasy teams. The brief stats on Jimenez were he had no saves. He only pitched five innings. He has a 3.6 ERA, nothing special. Dylan Dodd had a 7.71 ERA. Dom Smith batted .232, no homers. Christian Arroyo, .170 with no homers and one steal. They just didn't really add a lot. So some of them have already been dropped again, Dylan Dodd especially, because he was sent down to the minors. So you can take a look at that. And then the last section, I do go through the overall main event standings. And in first place overall is Mike Mager. Mike is a great fantasy player, but his team is really far ahead, even at this early stage. He has 7,252 points, and second place is 543 behind. So Mike is off to an outstanding start. His average category is giving him 725 points. And remember, there's 795 teams. So if you are first in a category overall, you'd get 795. His average team is giving him 725. So that's quite amazing. Joe Meyer, a good NFC-BC player, is in second. And thank God for that, because John Posma, former main event overall champ, is in third. And he seems like he's hell-bent on winning everything this season. I do summarize the league standings. And John is in the cashing positions, which is the top three positions, in five main event leagues, which is quite amazing. In fourth place is Dave Smith overall, and James Cabal is in fifth. I do go through and list the top 30, because if you're in the top 30 at the end of the season for the main event, you will get additional money in addition to any league prize you might win. That's pretty much the article. I don't want to go through all the league standings. There's a shout-out section for those players doing really well. We'll see if people enjoy this audio version. Sometimes it's easier to listen to an audio version rather than reading through the article, but there's a lot more detail in the article if you want to look at it. And one last note before I leave. If you go over to FTN, I mean, my article is a free article, but there's quite a bit of other content that's really outstanding. There's Eric Cross's Dynasty article on Tuesdays. Michael Govier has a great article on the top news of fantasy baseball. That's usually Wednesdays. Matthew Davis has both a bullpen and a hitter ranks article. Eric Cross comes back with a pitching primer later in the week. And of course, there's Vlad Sedler with this great Fab preview article that's available usually on Saturday, and then he does an update on Sunday evening. So that's it. Let me know what you think, and hopefully this can help people as they navigate their way through the fantasy baseball season. Thanks very much.